This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Mike Shope.
Get a three-way going. Those are fun.
And the Bulldog.
Regular D, HD, whatever you got. Both Ds. Mm-hmm. All the Ds. Bring me all the Ds.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You like this game tonight at all? For anything?
I guess, you know, the Rams are can be all right to watch.
But
the Bears, I can't stand the Bears.
In the history of the Bears, have they ever been a good watch?
No.
Ever? Like, ever?
Walter Payton, Gale Sayers.
Walter Payton.
Right, I mean, I said Gale Sayers after that. I didn't grow up with Gale Sayers, but like watching highlights has been awesome. I remember liking Bobby Douglas at some point. He was kind of a scrambling quarterback that really wasn't very good. But he, as a little kid, he appealed to me.
You know what I want to hear tonight on this broadcast? I want to hear someone say, there's a guy, Bobby Douglas, who would thrive in this league.
Yes.
Now. He was ahead of his time by 50 years. Right. I want to hear that.
Well
there's three announcers.
I don't think we'll know who says it.
Yes, you have that problem with this crew.
The
two of them sound alike.
Levy, I recognize, but I'm struggling with Riddick and Greasy.
Okay.
The Bears, where is the game? It's in California?
L.A.
Okay, well, that's better.
New stadium, I miss the Coliseum.
Yeah, the lighting there, you always
I love the lighting point. Of the Coliseum, yes.
During the day, though, this would be a night game. I don't know what.
Still great.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Oh, yes, elite. Here is Colin on WGR. Hello, Colin.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to respond to a previous caller's point about being worried about facing the Patriots this Sunday, and I would ask him this. Would you rather face a Patriots team that we saw weeks ago with Cam continuing to trend upward, or would you rather face a Patriots team that's now 2-4, Cam Newton benched, threw 0 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in the last 2 games? Hearing Belichick say for the first time I've ever seen him say it, there's not anything that they're doing well right now. And just knowing, like, it's our time. We're favored to win the division. I'm so sick of hearing the, you know, it's been 20 years. Well, I'm fired up to play them, and I think I'd much rather have the Patriots in the shape that they are now than how we saw them at the start of the season.
Yeah, you know, thanks, Colin. I like your style here. It is the same team, and I think you can get into trouble sort of assuming that the team you just watched is the team you're going to watch next time. Like, Edelman is having a game or two where he's not even getting the ball, and I just would not assume that that continues necessarily. But, you're optimistic about it. I think also what's irrelevant is the history. You know, because it's not meaningful for this game. You know, like it. I think maybe in the terms of the last 3 years, you have an era of Bills football that started in 2017 with Sean McDermott and then Josh Allen the next year, and neither of those guys have beaten New England. So I think in that respect, yes. But that
sure, yeah, that, right. And but anything before that, it doesn't matter to like anybody that's participating. But it's it's what we're walking around with. You know, it's just getting killed by this team, for 20 years. So
sure, right for us.
Yeah. So I mean, I definitely feel like that's it's almost all of it right here for me. Like I'm not even really thinking much about what they look like. Like would I want them playing well? No. Do I care that they're playing bad? No. They have been ruining my football life for 20 years. And if they're down, I want to put them down farther. That's what I want to see the Bills do. Just take advantage of them if they are wounded. And if they're not, if they play a good game, well, then you better play a better game. Because this is the time to get this thing done with. I mean, done with. I mean, whatever. There will be 8 games into the season. It's not decided at this point. But, boy, it'd be a really nice lead to have to put them to 2-6. Wait, 2-5.
Right.
Would be 5. Real nice.
That's the best you can do.
Yeah. I can't make them lose twice on Sunday.
If you were, I'm in fantasy leagues where we do have that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, you play, like, I'll play Brayton here and say I lose, but I'm still among the top scorers in points, then I would get a win. I'd get both. 1-1. You ever been in a league like that? The double win league?
Yeah. In fact, back in college, I ran a league like that out of my dorm.
Yes.
I didn't have a dorm. I didn't play fantasy football in college.
That's funny, though. What did Bulldog have in college? A dorm, a fantasy football league, a white leather suit, a beard? There's one answer that's right.
White leather suit now.
Isn't that the one thing that you actually did have of the four?
And a white leather jacket.
Oh,
white leather
pants?
Suit. Like, suddenly I'm Rick James. Like, I don't have a white leather jacket. I had a white leather biker jacket.
Just the jacket. All right, that's what I meant.
Did
you have, what was the four? A beard in college? No.
Not the first time. The second time I went to college, I had a goatee probably for some of it, I think, at Buff State.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably right.
Close,
maybe,
but not the same.
Maybe Buff State in the early 90s was where the goatee even started, maybe. I don't know.
Where it was invented.
Yes, right. I was the first.
Here is Brian next. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. My point on the Bills would be, you know, you can definitely tell the difference without Brown on the field. It's like they have less of an ability to spread the field horizontally and vertically. It just seems like more plays, it's not as easy. There's nothing that comes as easy than it is with Brown as the pressure relief. And it's just hard because with him gone and then virtually no production from the tight end position, I get Kropp had a few passes yesterday, but he's really a borderline NFL athlete. I mean, you just don't have a lot of that ability to create plays. So I'm thinking the Bills, I'm wondering if they go back to more of like the Dallas game last year is kind of the model, where it's try to occupy the middle of the field with shorter timing passes. And now that requires that Allen gets a little bit better protection than he has been. But when they did that, at least they moved it steadily, and they were constantly in a position to get points. I don't know if that would work against better teams, because we talk about the deep ball, but to me, through Allen's entire time here, with the exception of 5 games with Foster, I haven't seen where that's been a very consistent part of their offense. We talked about it all last year. You had John Murphy on numerous times, the morning show and then on various other shows, and he kept talking about, oh, the deep ball, we got to get it back, and it's going to come back. And it never really happened last year. And I think, at best, you're 3 years in, and it's kind of a very inconsistent way. So the explosive plays, I don't know how much you can really bank on them. Then I had 2 quick points that were not Bills-related, if I might.
Real quick.
The one was Seattle last night. You talk about coaching decisions that are baffling. Taking the ball out of Russell Wilson's hand on 3rd and 2 when you have to convert, and they run a pitch play to hide that gets blown up around the edge. I don't know what you're trying to do there. And then, how do you not get DK Metcalf the ball? 1 catch for 17 yards. You saw he ran a quick flare out on a touchdown that was called back. That's all you had to do to get him the ball.
They threw how many passes to Lockett? He caught 15 passes, right?
Yeah.
So that's right. That was working. They scored 34 points. I mean, okay, you're right. Metcalf had a strangely quiet night. He also made the play of the year in the league. Too bad there are no fantasy points for that, because he deserved some. He deserved something for that. That was just incredible. I feel like I've been forcing it all day. If we had just spent the whole day talking about that play, I think I would be much more relaxed.
Yeah.
It was just so amazing.
Yeah. I you missed Friday. Sal and I spent some quality time on Daniel Jones.
Yes.
And this would have been like it was a great play, not a funny play. I don't know. Maybe it's a little funny for Buda Baker, but whatever. There's no shame in getting caught from behind by a guy that runs a 4.33.
No, right. I don't think he was getting. I don't think there's anything embarrassing about that.
Yeah, he did not like. He looked back and slowed down a little when he looked back, but it was because he might have felt the guy coming. It's not like he was. Woo! Look at me! Like he was.
He never
churning.
Slowed up.
Yeah, he just kept going. He just got caught. You know, some dude goes.
They put Baker at 21 miles per hour at this immediate sort of technology and the data. And so that was super fast. You mentioned Daniel Jones. He was 22. Daniel Jones was faster than Tyreek Hill has been at all this year on any play.
No wonder he fell.
He was going too fast.
He's not meant to run that fast.
No.
His body, corrected. It auto-corrected it. Dude, stop!
Look forward to watching the Giants again on Monday night.
Oh, my God.
Next week against Tampa Bay. The top team in the league. The Buccaneers in point differential, plus 80. Best in the league. There were some... I mean, Brady lit it up. Yeah. I happened to be driving home yesterday, and I'll just find whatever game is going. And at one point, I found New England. And so, as I tuned into New England, they're getting crushed. The announcers say, this is the Patriot broadcast, the color guy goes, and in other games, Tom Brady has just thrown his fourth touchdown pass and has 350 yards or whatever the numbers were. And then the other guy talks about, well, the phones will be buzzing or something like that. You know, just... A gentle reference, at least it was a reference, to the fact that we are here broadcasting a Patriots team getting blown out at home while Brady, at the same time, is torching the Raiders and looking, you know, maybe as good as ever. Because that really was, did you watch him at all? That really was great. I mean,
I did. It was funny. I had a lot going on here yesterday all day, kitchen related. I don't need to get into it, but I had a hard time sitting still with anything, except for the Bills game, and even barely that. But I was in and out of those two. The two games that were on that I could watch were those two games. So I was sort of flipping back and forth. And I did see some of Tampa, and like Brady, he looks excellent. I mean, the idea that he was falling off a cliff, I mean, I you know, my bad. He looks really good.
Well, we knew that he didn't have weapons, and they still don't. They didn't do anything about that, New England.
Right. So now Newton's in the same situation.
Yes. I mean, who are you worried about? They don't throw it to Edelman now. Like, who are you worried about? Most casual football fans couldn't even name any other skill position player on that team. I think. Keith is with us. Hello, Keith.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. First, I'm not excited for Sunday at all. I'm quite terrified, actually. But that's maybe just past abuse. my concern is, you know, the offense. I feel like, you know, we've been down this road before. You know, I don't care about the kickers. I really don't care about the defense. I just want to know, are we really a 21st century team or not? And I was starting to believe after the first four games. Now after the last three, I feel like, is this 03, 08, 2011 again? You know, it's a little disconcerting that, okay, the teams drop back into coverage and all of a sudden we can't score anymore. Like, that seems elementary that we can't adjust to that yet. And I'm just really concerned what that means going up against Bill Belichick. Like, this feels like it has 21-17 written all over it, like every other Patriots game. I hope I'm wrong. All my friends keep telling me the Patriots are bad. Don't worry. I question that. And then my question is, you know, McDermott seemed really excited after this game in his post-game speech.
I agree.
It made me wonder, does he prefer to win this way? Is it because I like winning the Rams game way, but I think he really likes – 18-10. I think like that seems to make him feel more accomplished in how he likes to play football. And I thought he was starting to go the other way, but now I'm wondering, do you think there's an identity crisis here?
No, I mean, that to me sounds like a leap. I've thought that about him and wondered about that, but I wouldn't say that that was evidenced by how he seemed to behave after this game or how he sounded. One of the first things I took note of watching the game was, man, his clap is on high speed today. They missed a field goal, and he was clapping like crazy. Then they made one, and he was clapping like crazy. Every time they showed McDermott, he was like on, you know, like Allegro with his claps. And then after the game, he was like, again, didn't you hear that too? Like, he was really, really like feeling it yesterday. I have no idea what it was that caused that, or if it's just even a right observation. It might not even be right. But yeah, it's interesting to me that you noticed it.
Yeah, I don't know. He might have just been pumped that his defense allowed 4 yards and a half of football.
That's what the caller means, right?
All game, right? But does that mean he'd rather win that way? I mean, I don't know. You know, I think he would have rather won 56-10, probably. Like, he exaggerated with us that one time.
Bulldog, we got to go. But isn't that you could explore this area? Like, not you have to be careful with what you're assuming about McDermott.
Right.
But don't football people love low scoring defense games? Isn't that his calling card? Like, you know, I wouldn't even consider it a criticism to say that he did. I just don't want it, you know, to affect the strategies of the Bills. But, you know, I'm a fan and I like games like that sometimes. I don't need every game to be last night's game. Right. So it's kind of interesting. Really, what it is the caller going, well, does this tell us something about where we're headed? And I would not, I don't want to think like that. But sure, you know, this was a defensive slugfest, you know?
Sure.
You can talk about character and, you know, everything like that, the kind of thing he loves to do and did as soon as this game was over. Well, I mean, 45 minutes later when the thing started. But that's what he likes to talk about, is this is a character win and the guys worked really hard all week. And, you know, other weeks I guess they don't. But just that kind of stuff, I think he's like a lot of coaches in that way, that they love to sort of feel
coaches
that.
Coaches might really appreciate a game where their team has to really dig in.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, it comes easy. You know, so that might be one possible explanation.
They love to win with defense, coaches. Overall, in general, I think there's something more satisfying about that. Let's just hope that they don't, you know, somehow implement that in strategy or in you know, game decisions, whatever. All right, thank you, Keith. Eric Wood on yesterday's win. When we return, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.